Hello everyone and welcome to Raya Affairs. My name is Nicola and as always I'll be your host for this episode. Raya is a youth-led international think tank that translates the abstract world of international affairs by simplifying rather than generalizing. Raya is a place where you come to learn about the stories and worries of political leaders, the behind the scenes of decision makers, and how politics impacts and changes your life. This is Raya Affairs filling you in wherever you are. As always, we start with a disclaimer that expressed opinion in this episode are welcome, even though they are not a direct reflection of Raya, as we specialize in unbiased writing. So in today's episode, we will be talking about Kenya, where President William Ruto's finance bill has caused mass protests in the country and a legitimacy crisis for his administration. The bill, which was aimed at addressing Kenya's debt crisis through tax increases, has caused widespread opposition, legal challenges, and economic instability. Joining me today is Lily Sage, who recently wrote an article on this topic. So hello, Lily, and thank you very much for joining me today. Would you like to introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me on this podcast. Hi, everyone. My name is Lily. I'm from Botswana, and I study international relations at IE University.
Thank you very much for the introduction, Lily. And before we start to talk about today's topic, I'll ask you to answer our usual ice-breaking question. So could you tell us which leader, either dead or alive, who has impacted the world, would you want to have a conversation with and why?
So if I could have any conversation with a leader, it would be Haile Selassie, the former emperor of Ethiopia. One of his most powerful quotes at the League of Nations in 1936 was, it is us today, it will be you tomorrow. And that line really sticks with me because it highlights the importance of solidarity and the risks of turning a blind eye to injustice, something that feels incredibly relevant in African politics today. So if I had the chance to speak to him, I'd love to hear his thoughts on how African nations can truly protect their independence, especially with challenges like foreign debt influence, IMF influence, and political instability in places like Kenya.
Well, thank you very much, Lily. That's very interesting. And I have to say your answer perfectly aligns with today's topic. So this is great. And now I would say that we can start our conversation about your article. And I would say that we can start with the basics. So could you tell us what is happening in Kenya? What exactly is Ruto's finance bill? What were its key proposals? And why has it caused such opposition and outrage across the country?
Yes, yeah, so right now Kenya is facing major unrest because of President Ruto's 2023 finance bill. The bill was supposed to fix Kenya's debt problem by raising taxes on things like fuel, housing, and income. But for ordinary Kenyans already struggling with inflation and high living costs, these taxes felt like too much. So this sparked massive protests in cities like Nairobi and even led to curfews and internet shutdowns. So on top of that as well, the judiciary ruled parts of the bill unconstitutional. So now Ruto is facing protests, political opposition, and legal challenges, which have all really weakened his position.
So in your article, you describe his leadership as freezing. Could you elaborate on what this means and how his political influence has been weakened by these protests?
Yeah, so I described his leadership as freezing because, I mean, his ability to act and implement policies is severely compromised. The protests have exposed how much his political influence was weakened. So despite entering office with momentum and big promises, Ruto is now stuck, unable to push forward with his agenda. So the backlash against the finance bill has been massive, largely due to the economic strain on Kenyan citizens. And these protests have revealed how much, like, the government is out of touch with its people. And without the public support, enacting reforms becomes nearly impossible.
Well, you already mentioned this, but beside the public discontent and the protests in the streets, the bill also caused opposition from the judiciary and from the parliament. So I wanted to ask you how the Kenyan Supreme Court has challenged Ruto's administration and how the parliament reacted to this situation.
So the protests are just one part of the story. Both the judiciary and the parliament have played key roles in challenging Ruto's administration. So as I said, the Supreme Court ruled parts of the 2023 bill unconstitutional, halting its implementation. So this was a huge blow to Ruto as it showed the judiciary's independence and highlighted the limits of executive power. So on the parliamentary side, Ruto has faced pushback, not only from opposition parties, but also from within his own ranks. They have raised concerns about the bill's political and legal consequences. So in short, Ruto is facing opposition both from the streets and the institutions that are meant to support his reforms. It's a tough spot for him as the judiciary and parliament complicate his efforts to stabilize the economy and push his vision forward.
Well, that is definitely a tough spot. And also, if we consider that Ruto won the 2022 presidential elections, presenting himself as kind of a political outsider, promoting a bottom-up economic model and emphasizing his commitment to uplift the lower class and the farmers. His so-called hustler nation ideology, which promised to restructure the economy to benefit ordinary citizens and reduce reliance on external borrowing. So considering the situation right now, do you think that he has been able to fulfill these promises?
I would say when he entered, he, as you said, he had a lot of promises. And now there is a clear disconnect between his promises and reality. The finance bill, which proposed tax hikes, has placed an additional strain, financial strain, on the very people he vowed to uplift. So instead of reducing external debt, his government has continued borrowing heavily, further undermining his credibility. So the public is very frustrated and his leadership is under pressure as his vision for economic transformation hasn't materialized as he hoped. So despite with these big ideas, Ruto's ideas haven't yet delivered on his promises and his leadership now faces mounting pressure to prove his vision can work actually in practice.
Yes, and I can imagine that the situation right now is kind of worsened by these promises he made during the electoral campaign, presenting himself as this kind of political outsider and now facing protests and oppositions both in the streets, in the parliament and by the judiciary, which, as you already said, seems like a really tough situation for a leader. Moreover, the Kenyan government argued that raising taxes was necessary to enhance the country's economic sovereignty, to reduce national debt and to fund development projects. However, some reports suggest that the International Monetary Fund pressured Kenya into adopting these tax measures in exchange for financial aid. So what do you think was the role of the IMF in this matter and how it affected public mistrust towards Ruto's government?
Yeah, so as you said, the reports indicated that the IMF pressured Kenya into implementing these tax measures as part of a deal for financial aid. So while the government argued that these tax hikes were necessary for economic sovereignty and national development, many Kenyans viewed the IMF's influence as undermining the country's independence. So this perception has deepened public mistrust, which citizens now are questioning whether Ruto is prioritizing foreign interest over the welfare of Kenyans. And the IMF's involvement has put Ruto in a difficult position, making it hard for him to maintain the trust of the public, especially those who believed he would break free from this foreign influence. So it's a really tough position for him.
It definitely is. And this highlights also one of the bigger problems that the IMF is facing in recent years, which this is a situation that we already saw in other countries where leaders have to face these kind of really difficult decisions when deciding to take aid from the IMF, depending on the conditions that are imposed upon them. My other question is more about the bigger picture, about the regional stability. Because Kenya, as one of the largest economies in East Africa, plays a critical role in regional trade and investment, but also in regional security efforts. So what are the potential consequences of public discontent and economic instability in Kenya on the stability of the whole region? Do you think that Kenya's youth-led protests could inspire similar demonstrations in other countries?
So Kenya's role as East Africa's economic and security hub means its instability is likely to have serious regional consequences. So if the protests and economic turmoil continue, trade routes to landlocked neighbors like Uganda, Rwanda and South Sudan could be disrupted, as seen during Kenya's 2007 to 2008 post-election violence when regional trade was severely affected. As well as that, the economic stability could also deter foreign investment in the region and weaken Kenya's role in mediating conflicts such as in South Sudan and Somalia. So when it also comes to the youth-led protest, Kenya's movement could be the spark that ignites similar uprising across the continent. With over 60% of Africa's population under 25, according to the UN, and youth unemployment remaining a major challenge, it would be no surprise that young people are leading the charge for change. What's happening in Kenya right now isn't just about one country, it's about the bigger shift, and it is likely to push leaders across the region to start taking youth demands for accountability more seriously.
So the protests have forced the government to reconsider parts of the financial bill, right? What do you think we can expect in the future? Like, if the finance bill fails completely, what would be the consequences? And what economic alternatives does Ruto's government have to address Kenya's debt crisis?
So if the finance bill collapses completely, Kenya will face a serious fiscal gap, meaning that the government will struggle to raise money if it needs to pay off debt and fund public services. So this could increase pressure from international creditors and risk damaging Kenya's credit rating, making borrowing even more expensive. But on the flip side, if Ruto's forces it through without these changes, public anger could grow even stronger, deepening political instability. So in terms of alternatives, instead of heavy taxes on ordinary citizens, Ruto's government could focus on cutting unnecessary government spending, tackling corruption, which drains billions every year, and renegotiating debt terms with international lenders. Kenya has also the potential to expand its tax base through better enforcement on wealthy elites and big corporations who often avoid these exact taxes. So Ruto faces a choice: protect his people or protect old ways of managing debt. And how he chooses will define his legacy.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that this is a problem that many other leaders face, especially in countries with big debt. So yes, and my last question is, looking at the future, how likely do you think it is that Ruto's leadership can recover from this crisis before the next elections, which will be in 2027?
Yeah, so Ruto's leadership is at a critical crossroads. So if he listens to the protesters and he pushes for real reforms, especially around transparency, debt management, and cutting elite privileges, he might actually win back this public trust. But if he keeps pushing unpopular policies, this crisis could define his presidency in a very negative way. So in Kenya right now, the streets are speaking louder than the politicians, and whether Ruto listens may decide not just his fate, but the country's future.
Well, thank you very much, Lily. I would say that with this, we can end today's episode. Thank you very much again for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this conversation that we had was great. I hope our listeners enjoyed it as well. And to our listeners, make sure to check out Lily's article at rayagroup.org and to follow us on social media to receive updates on new articles and contents. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time.